Let us commence the solemn worship of God with hymn number 932. May the Lord help us to sing this hymn with longing that these streams of living water might flow into our souls. Hymn 932. See from Zion's sacred mountain streams of living water flow. God has opened there a fountain that supplies the plains below. They are blessed who its sovereign virtues know. Hymn 932.
Let us turn to read in the second epistle, General of Peter, chapter 3. The second epistle of Peter, chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Saviour. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and for ever. Amen. The Lord bless his word. May he help us now to pray. O thou great and eternal Lord, we pray for thy grace now to rightly call upon thy name, to approach unto thy great majesty at the throne of thy grace, thankful to find there yet is room before thy throne of grace, that thou hast made an open way for sinners and needy sinners and vile sinners and poor sinners, that we might come and venture nigh to thee. And Lord, we thank thee and plead now before thee that blood-sprinkled mercy seat, thy propitiation. All we do ask that thou draw us nigh now through that precious blood of Christ. So we come with our confessions. God, be merciful to us. Come, Lord, owning what we are, and yet desiring that we might know, even as we have been pondering in that first hymn, those streams of mercy. Oh, may we know those streams of mercy that make glad the city of God. Oh, Lord Jesus, may we have that knowledge of thyself and thy rich grace and all that thou hast done and all that thou hast wrought for the poor and needy sinners. And Lord, we do pray, may there be some fellowship this evening, some communion with thee. Oh, do speak through thy word. Do come, Lord Jesus, to speak by thy spirit. Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we desire the salvation of sinners. And we do pray those visit souls with thy salvation. Do enlighten them with the light of the living. Oh, shine into their hearts, thou Son of Righteousness. Scatter all our darkness, scatter our unbelief, and do deliver us and save us from our sins. Lord, we do pray there might be this evening a gathering unto thee, a drawing unto thee, in whatever place or case we might be found in spiritually, or may it be unto thee shall the gathering of the people be. So have mercy upon us. We bow before thee, realizing, Lord, our vast dependence upon thee, yet knowing that thou hast all power in heaven and upon earth. And we do pray that thou hast then blessed the friends gathered. Be gracious to them, we pray thee, every path before thee. Lord, may there be encouragements, may there be helps from the sanctuary. And do lead us on, we pray. Do establish us and build us up in our most holy faith. Lord, thou knowest that we by nature have nothing, and how we need thee to add unto us everything, to give us grace and that real knowledge of thyself. Oh, may it be our prayer that even this evening, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. We pray, Lord, that those who have come with that inquiry of the Greeks of old, so as we would see Jesus, that they may really find that desire met. And Lord, then we do pray, remember any in particular difficulties and trials at this time. We do beseech thee that thou remember the afflicted ones, Lord, and we would remember them before thee at this time, especially remembering our friend, the deacon, and his wife at home. Be very gracious and merciful, and we do lift up our prayers for thy sustaining grace and help to be given. And Lord, that thou hast be gracious and merciful, and shine thy light and thy love into their home, we do pray thee. Oh, draw near, as thou didst those two on the road to Emmaus, as they walked and were sad, and thou didst speak of those things concerning thyself. We do pray that thou wouldst be with them then in that special way. Lord, others in troubles and sorrows in life, difficulties, may they know thy gracious help, thy kind direction and provision many needs we have in this world as we have a path to walk out. And we do pray these things thou wilt supply our need and direct us rightly in all thy will. Do forgive us, O Lord, where we go astray. Be unto us that good shepherd to seek us out, to bring us in the right way. And have mercy upon us. We would return our thanks for thy great goodness. Though we, Lord, are found in the midst of many solemn scenes, and we find ourselves in the midst of this pandemic upon our nation still, Lord, we have so much to thank thee for. Indeed, thou hast been our help, and we give thee thanks for this. We thank thee for our natural health and strength. We do thank thee, O Lord, for thy house, the means of grace that we still have. And though there was indeed last year that period, we were not able to go out to thy house, we yet own thy provisions, the means of grace, the preaching of the gospel. Realize, Lord, how valuable these things are, and plead that there might not be that famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord, or how much we realize even in those seasons, Lord, that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. O Lord, how true it is, and if we have living souls, it must be so. Oh, how we live upon thee and need thee continually. Lord, it is not the written word only, though it be good. It is how we need thee to give us those living words, those living streams. So, Lord, do come, do speak to us. Don't leave us as that dry and barren land, we pray. Oh, do water our garden, that we might bring forth fruit. There might be some encouragements. O Lord, we pray, come, Lord, and send thy word and heal us. Heal us, Emmanuel. Here we are waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair. Saviour, we are such. We ask, Lord, then, that thou wilt come and bless us in our gathering, as we'll be truly thankful for the means of grace. And, Lord, many other mercies also in the midst of this time. All those things we have had need of, thou hast supplied, and many prayers heard and answered. Oh, we thank thee that thou art the same. Thank thee for what thou art, who thou art, the same yesterday, today and forever, still a God of mercy, still a name to plead above every name and a blood to plead. Oh, we pray then for a thankful heart. Lord, as we journey on in this world, we realize we have one need above all others. That is to be found in Christ Jesus. Oh, we do pray that thou, Lord, then grant it may be so for us each. And that we, Lord, may be then found right at last. Be gracious to us, we pray, in the midst of so much death around us. May all these things be a humbling reminder of our mortality. And we do pray that thou wilt grant that those things that we have passed through, indeed in our whole lives, may be those things which bring us to realization of that one thing needful. O Lord, be merciful to us. We call upon thee to remember thy dear people everywhere. We pray for them everywhere. Up and down our country, especially those known to us and many unknown. Be merciful to thy church. We pray that thou wilt deliver us from evil, and shine the light of the gospel And may it be, Lord, that it shines brighter in our day. Lord, we do pray, revive us again. And grant, Lord, that those things that are waxing old and those things, Lord, that have become tainted, oh, may it be, as thou hast said, that thou hast said to that refiner of fire, thou refine the sons of Levi. Lord, even the trials in the church of God may fall out to the furtherance of the gospel. And we do pray that thou bless them, bless thy people everywhere. May there be that those gracious additions, that adding unto thy church, such as shall be saved. We do thank thee where it is so. And there even recently, that those added unto thy church. And O God Almighty, we do pray thou build us up, and that thou wilt graciously enlarge us. And we pray that, Lord, it may be so in this house, as we pray for our own cause also. Lord, we thank thee where there are those praying souls in the pew. And we pray, Lord, that there may be others gathered in besides, those who pass the doors of thy house, those who perhaps take thy word to read. Or may there be an opening of their blind eyes and that desire to know the truth and that coming and inquiring in thy house. Lord, we pray then for our country. Oh, do send thy truth forth still. And stand by those in our high places who still speak truth. How thankful we should be for it. Lord, wherever there are such who, though found in very difficult positions, do speak according to truth. God, stand by them, help them. And we do pray that thou wilt remember those who rule over us, give them wisdom and understanding at this time. And may thy fear be put in their hearts and before their eyes. We do pray there may be that realization that thou art God, that thou art that sovereign God above all principalities and powers, and to bow the knee to thee. These are great things to ask, but Lord, have mercy. And we would remember thy people everywhere, for we know thou hast a suffering people in many parts of the earth. And we sometimes read of things here and there, of thy persecuted people and suffering people. And how favoured we are, O Lord, in the midst of all our blessings outwardly compared to such. But Lord, go to them and help them. May it be the poor of this world, though rich in faith. May they be blessed abundantly in their souls, though in the midst of deep waters. Lord, we pray that the knowledge of thyself may cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Lord, do overcome Satan's kingdom. Raise up the kingdom of thine own dear Son. We pray for it in our own hearts. For Lord, it is not by outward observation thy word says. Oh, how we need thy kingdom to come in ourselves and in the hearts of many. Oh Lord, be merciful to us in these things. Lord, we would bear before thee everyone then here present, as well as those absent, everyone who would usually meet within this house. We pray that thou hast mercy, remember each. Do bless the hymns to be given out this evening, we pray. Remember our friend giving them out, and be with him also in his path. We ask thy blessing upon us now then, and help us we would wait upon thee, Lord, in the preaching of the gospel. We pray that we may be helped in our speaking and in our hearing, and that all may be to thy glory. We plead for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn number 53. This is the word of truth and love, sent to the nations from above. Jehovah here resolves to show what his almighty grace can do. Hymn number 53.
The words upon our mind to speak from this evening found in the chapter we read in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3. It is especially verses 17 and 18. Verses 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, to him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. This second epistle of Peter was written by him towards the end of his journey. He knew himself to be shortly taken away from the earth and therefore from the Church of God, in which he had ministered for many years as an apostle. And he had experienced much and passed through much, and therefore there were many warnings, much admonition that he spoke of in his epistle. And he speaks of the warnings concerning the latter days. Now, it was very much known, and the Lord Jesus had spoken of it himself in his own ministry, how that there would be Christs and prophets that would arise and yet be as wolves in sheep's clothing and would lead many astray. In the previous chapter we read of the Balaam and his empty profession, as he spoken of as being a well without water, in clouds carried without a with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. And so there was a warning, you see, in these things, and false teachers and so forth that was necessary. And Paul also spoke of these things, and Peter towards the end of this epistle speaks of Paul's epistles. He says, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. The apostle, in the verse preceding our text, speaks especially of those who had twisted and distorted the epistles of Paul, as he says, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. And it is in this context that we have our text before us, and this warning, beware. Because Satan, you see, is an angel of light, and things may appear right because scriptural, yet taken out of context, applied in a wrong way, they may be wrong. You think of how the adversary, the devil, even took the scriptures and quoted the scriptures to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ himself in his temptation. And how then we have there an example of this. But as he speaks here, you see, he speaks of this being led away. Beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now, friends, this is the devil's object in these characters, in these solemn things that may be permitted. He came to destroy men's lives. And he came to take them away from the only one foundation, the only one hope of the gospel, which is Jesus Christ. Friends, we must speak of the standing of the Lord's people. And if we're right, where are we standing? What are we standing upon? Oh, Paul tells us that there's one foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We must speak of him because, dear friends, it's him that all the whole Church of Christ will glory in and place their whole hope in and entirely trust upon. Their trust upon their merits, the blessed name, the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We must come to the point, you see, the fundamentals here. Because if we're standing right, we've built our house upon a rock. Oh, the Lord Jesus spoke of it towards the close of his ministry on the Mount, his Sermon on the Mount. And he likened those who had heard his word and hearkened to them and to a wise man that built his house upon a rock and he digged deep. Well, there was nothing, you see, as it were on the surface only. It was a deep foundation. Friends, there was something, we might say, in the heart. There was something indeed that had been sought for and found. And so, yes, like a wise man that built his head upon a rock, and that rock is Christ. And friends, when the winds came and the floods came, oh, that house stood because it was built upon a rock. And that's exactly, dear friends, how it will be with all who are found in Christ Jesus and who build their hope on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, the blessed rock Christ Jesus. And he is the rock of ages. Oh, how he is that rock that will endure and last, a foundation that can never be removed. And though the mountains depart and the hills be removed in this world, that foundation can never depart. It's not one of those things that can possibly be shaken. And you see, because Christ cannot be shaken, his church cannot be shaken. And this is our promise and our hope, dear friends, that the foundation of God stand is sure. Therefore, having this seal, the Lord knoweth those that are his. And because Christ remains and Christ lives, his people must live. And they must endure. They must stand every storm and live at last. Oh, then, let the powers of hell do its worst. They could never overcome Christ. They never did. Even though in his weakest hour, as we might say, in a reverent way, on the cross, he conquered them. And, dear friends, the Church of God in their weakest hour will conquer also through their mighty Saviour, the mighty God of Jacob. Yes, sinful Jacob. And Christ said, didn't he, concerning himself, after Peter's noble confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon this church, this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Friends, Christ has never been overcome. He stood all through his holy life the temptations of Satan. He stood against the cunning and craft and wicked words of men. Oh, he was never carried away from doing his Father's will. Never carried away from coming down from that cross. Oh, how he stood firstly set his face towards Jerusalem, and how he remained on that cross, though men tempted him to come down. And he overcame. This is where we stand if we are in Christ. And that standing can never be shaken. Once in Christ, in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. And friends, if your hope is there, you can never fall away. Never. And there's no peradventure sinking to hell if you're in Christ. You see, because we believe in an everlasting covenant, the Father's electing love, and giving that church to Christ to redeem, and that people persevering by grace to heaven at last. Those people in Christ, they stand upon a rock and could never be moved. And you see then the solemn difference, dear friends, between those in Christ and those out of Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus taught this solemn difference, and we must speak of it because we've just spoken of that the parable of the house that fell and the house that stood. You see, one fell, and they were those on the sand, had no foundation. House upon the rock stood. Jesus also taught in the parable of the sower. You see, those who had a root and those who did not. Friends, it was this, wasn't it? The storms of life came, the temptations. Oh, the work of the wicked one, the blast of Satan. You see, those who had no foundation, those who had no root, swept away. These are solemn things for the Lord's people at times, when they're in the midst of temptations and trials. Oh, will I endure? Will I come through? But my friends, I want to come to this point again. If your hope is built on Christ, it's steadfast. You see, those that are found on that rock, they'll not be ashamed. The floods shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. True, you might lose much of yourself and your own religion, but you won't lose anything that God has done. You won't lose Christ. And he says, buy of me gold tried in the fire. Friends, we have Christ. We have something that must endure. Now, what way then does the apostle mean? Beware lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. He's not speaking of falling away entirely. Friends, I've said the Lord's people cannot fall out of Christ, but they might fall from their steadfastness. They might be tempted aside for a while, a season, and they might fall. They might fall in the errors of the wicked, which are the errors of sin. The evil practices of sin. They might fall for the world for a season. And don't we have examples in the scriptures of these things? Think of Lot and how he chose him, all that well-watered land. Godly Lot set his face toward the world and all the danger it placed him in. And he fell for that season into that error. And so it is in spiritual things and doctrinal things we may fall into error, the errors of the wicked. And really, you see, ultimately, it is a falling away from the truth. Because, dear friends, if we're standing in Christ, we're standing in the truth, as the truth is in Jesus, the precious Word of God. Really, everything is built upon the Word, if we are walking rightly. Our profession will be built upon the Word of God. And that is why then we're instructed to stand fast, having our loins girt about with truth, lest we be led away with the error of the wicked. What saith the Scriptures? What saith Christ? And so Peter, yes, was he not one who was well placed to speak concerning these things, dear Peter? Peter loved the Lord Jesus. He really did. But because he had an old nature like me and you, he did fall for a season from his own steadfastness. And see how he was led away with the error of the wicked. Those loitering in the judgment hall. And they weren't friends of the Lord Jesus or of the disciples, were they? They didn't care about the Lord Jesus. And Peter went and sat with them. And then he began to curse. And he began to deny his Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And Jesus had said, beware, hadn't he? Watch and pray, he'd said, lest you enter into temptation. But you see, Peter, oh, how he knew then his weakness. And that is the reason why we have the warnings, because we're weak, because we're in the flesh. Friends, how we prove it at times, and do you have the same fears as I do sometimes? Realizing how exceedingly weak we are, that unless the Lord keeps us, unless he gives us grace, we must be swept away with the errors of the wicked. Because in us, that is in our flesh, there dwells no good thing, and we're easy bait for Satan. Therefore, all the need to cleave to the Lord Jesus and his precious word of truth. And so, yes, a man may fall for a season from his own steadfastness, but blessed be God, there is a remedy, there is a recovery. And we have it in Peter, don't we? How the Lord forgave him for his sins, that free forgiveness. Do you notice how the Lord Jesus didn't rebuke Peter? Because he knew he was sorry. But he said, lovest thou me? And the lovely Lord Jesus, oh, how he drew him back by those cords of love, those bands of love. That is the way of the gospel. That's the way the Lord Jesus works. Friends, you know it, how it must be so. Because there's nothing else that would really effectually bring us back. It's the love of Christ that constrains us. Oh, how Peter had known that precious love of his Saviour. And so that love that forgives and freely forgives all our sins. And that love that restores. As the apostle says, as the psalmist says, he restoreth my soul. It is true, friends, that a righteous man may fall seven times, but he riseth up again. What a mercy, and God deserves all the praise for this. We do need restoring. If you've never needed it, I don't believe you could have ever known that you're in the way at all. Friends, because we need restoring so much. And if it's not outwardly, it's inwardly, day by day. Oh, says David, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. So there is this need for warning, a need to be watchful. Beware, he says. Beware of this. And ultimately, this falling is a falling away from Christ. And though I say not eternally for God's people, yet this is what it is really. It's a coming away from Christ and a coming away from the precious gospel. So beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, just two more things concerning the steadfastness as it comes to my mind. The Lord Jesus taught concerning the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, take heed, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And I believe that was a significant word of our Lord Jesus to speak of this. You see, the Sadducees denied the resurrection. Very plainly in the scriptures we read of it. And that doctrine led to very loose and ungodly lives. Because the apostle speaking of this in Corinthians says, it was as if they were saying, let us eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's no resurrection, so there's no judgment day. So we're not accountable, so we might as well live now for this time state. So I believe the Sadducees set before us that error, going after indeed the world, sinful pleasures, things that gratify the flesh, things easy and pleasing to ourselves. And this is on the one hand falling from our steadfastness. On the other hand, the Lord Jesus spoke of the Pharisees. And at quite some length did he speak of the Pharisees and the scribes in the Gospels. And what was the error there? What was all the warning of the Lord Jesus concerning them? And they were a religious people with many strict rules and traditions. He told them they go about to establish their own righteousness. And he told them that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And their righteousness was built upon what they were doing. And yes, the moral law, yes, the ceremonial law, and many traditions besides which they had made up themselves. And so heavy were the burdens that they were laying upon men that they quite stopped up the way to heaven. They put stumbling blocks before men. And how the Apostle Paul mourned of these things, maybe even writing to Galatians as we think of it, in speaking of those Christians who were really Jews at heart. How they came in, how they spied out the liberty of the Lord's people and lay stumbling blocks and said, except you obey the law of Moses, you can't be saved. And so to lead us back into bondage and to lead us back to Sinai again, from which the Lord has delivered us, and which the Gospel says there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And it is by faith that we are saved, and by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Oh, how then, you see, these two errors did the Lord Jesus lay out in particular. And towards the close of the Apostles Paul's discourse on the resurrection, he says, to be unmovable, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as you know that your labours are not in vain in the Lord. So beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But grow in grace. This precious truth, he giveth more grace. And friends, there is such a thing as a growth in grace. So that the Christian does not need to stand still, but be on the stretch, that he might know more of the Lord Jesus and receive more from the Lord Jesus, from that wonderful rich fullness of grace in the Lord Jesus. And this growth in grace then, well, of course, in a limited sense, we might think of the gifts the Lord bestows upon his people, whereby they may be made useful and helpful towards God's people and the world at large. Of course, walking in and following the paths of sin and error never lead to fruitfulness, do they? Do men gather grapes of thorns? But especially does this word speak of that inward saving grace of the Lord Jesus. Grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour. Now this growth in grace with the Lord's dear people must go on. We read that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. But I believe I could be right to say this, that it's not a growth in conscious goodness, and that the Lord's dear people often cannot see it and do not realise it, because it will be known by us in our felt need, and a growing realisation of our need of the Lord Jesus and our dependence upon the Lord Jesus. Dear friends, I say it's not a growth in some conscious goodness in ourselves. Oh, none can be really so proud as who think themselves humble. None can be so self-confident who think themselves full of faith. None can love themselves so much who think themselves full of love. Friends, the Lord's dear people who are growing in grace realize their emptiness. Blessed are the poor in spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They're the ones that have got grace. The ones who really do have the grace of the Lord Jesus. This is a growth in the grace of our Lord and Saviour. And how wonderful if through the trials and sorrows and difficulties of this lower world, we are driven to depend upon His grace more, realizing more and more our need of His grace. And the apostle says, writing to the Corinthians, that He is able to make all grace abound toward you. Whatever grace you feel to need, He's able to make it abound toward you. And so this is the work of the Spirit, isn't it? Really, it's the growth of the new man that is given at the new birth. The work of the Holy Spirit. And this word really reminds us of what the Apostle Paul said when he said to sow to the Spirit. He said if we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Do not follow then the principles of sin and wickedness which dwell in the old man, but look to the good and the increase of the new man. Those things that will benefit. Seek the means whereby that new man may be built up. For God has provided means whereby that new man may be fed and watered and enlightened. And it is His word. And it is His house. It is amongst His people. And if we are really seeking spiritual growth, we will seek those means whereby the growth may come, as God blesses those means. If we forsake the means, we can hardly be said to be seeking this grace. So we mustn't forget that the Lord has provided means of grace. But grow in grace. Now, this is intrinsically united to what follows. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. No grace outside of Christ. Friends, if we grow in grace, it will be in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Well, the apostle said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. To know Him, whom to know is life eternal. And this knowledge of our Lord and Saviour is, of course, a real experimental, a gracious knowledge of our Lord and Saviour. It is as the doctrine of Christ is sanctified in us and we walk with Jesus. And we prove the power of His resurrection in our lives. All dead sinners like us, raised up above ourselves and sin and the world and Satan. By the power of His resurrection. And this fellowship with his sufferings. What a solemn path that is. How little we really know of his sufferings. Yet we trust we have known a little of that suffering with Christ, and the taking up of our cross, and the following after him, bearing his reproach, for here have we no continuing city. Be made conformable unto his death. Though you only know that, dear friends, as you have to die to the world, and die to yourself, and die to your sins. But these things are those things that we walk through, and a personal knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, to be given us in those deep waters and in a path of felt need of Christ. You see, we do not learn God's truth as schoolboys learn their task. Such knowledge is not proof against delusion's blast. When we're in the midst of temptations and trials and sorrows, it's then that we need a real, living knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Well, what think you of Christ? What think you of Christ? What do we know of him? What do you know of him? What do I know of him? You know what the Apostle Peter said in his first epistle? Unto you that believe, he is precious. And those who know him will know him to be precious. Friends, I believe if you know anything of him, you'll desire to know him more. And to know him more in all that he has done. As he came down into this sin-cursed world to live that blessed life and to lay it down for his sheep. We'll desire more understanding of and knowledge in these things, and that for yourself. To know that your name was written upon his heart, and that he came for you. And mine just goes to what the apostles spoke of in the first chapter in this epistle. For he said, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You see, there's a defence against falling, isn't it? As we just come back to that for a moment. It says you're on the stretch for these things. To know a personal, have a personal knowledge and interest in the Lord Jesus. That's a defence. If you are on the stretch for these things, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. So you see, the word in our text is a word of direction. This is how we should live, seeking these things, but growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Oh, the knowledge of Christ is more precious than gold. Jesus is that pearl of great price. Oh, friends, the knowledge of Christ surpasses the knowledge of all earthly things. The knowledge of everything under the sun. As we sometimes sing, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. And so this is intrinsically linked with the growth in grace. It must be because every grace and every favour flow to us through Jesus' blood. Every grace must come from the fountain of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We only see light in his light. Friends, we only walk in the light as we looking unto that Son of Righteousness and have the knowledge of the Son of Righteousness, as we are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, as we hold the head by faith. That's how we have grace. It's in him all our fruit is found. So I say, it's not looking at ourselves, is it? It's looking unto our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And that is the road to heaven. That is the way to be kept. Friends, it's as we are ever looking towards him, the forerunner, who has for us entered into glory. Well, he says, to him be glory, both now and forever. This is the note that Peter finishes on. He places the crown upon the head of the Lord Jesus, desiring he to have all the honour and the glory. And if the work of grace is of God, it will return to his honour and glory. All his works shall praise him, and his saints shall bless him. If God has given you anything, it's this: unto him. It will return to him. And it will return to his glory now on earth. And it will eternally return to his glory. Because all his works shall praise him. And may this be true, dear friends. May we not hold our peace when he deserves that glory. You see, if he's done anything for us, if he's given us anything, may it be to him be glory. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Izzard will preach to us next Lord's Day in the morning, and if well enough, in the evening also. There will be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and God willing, Mr. Wheatley will preach to us on Tuesday evening. Our closing hymn is number 76. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. Hymn number 76.
O Lord, do pardon, we pray thee, everything that has been amiss with us in thy house this evening. We do pray thy blessing on thy own word. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.